I was struck by that line in the hymn that God leaves his spirit with us until all the work on earth is done. And that's what we're going to hear about in our reading now from Simon and then from Carl, who's coming to preach.
The reading is from Matthew chapter 10, verse 5 to 14. The 12 Jesus sent out with the following instructions. Do not go among the Gentiles or enter any town of the Samaritans. Go rather to the lost sheep of Israel. As you go, proclaim this message. The kingdom of heaven has come near. Heal those who are ill, raise the dead, cleanse those who have leprosy, drive out demons. Freely you have received, freely give. Do not get any gold, silver, or copper, and take it with you in your belts. No bags for the journey, or extra shirt, or sandals, or a staff. For the worker, it is worth his keep. Whatever town or village you enter, search there for some worthy person, and stay at their house until you leave. As you enter the home, give it your greeting. If the home is deserving, let your peace rest on it. If it is not, let your peace return to you. If anyone will not welcome you or listen to your words, leave that home or town and shake the dust off your feet. This is the word of the Lord.
Brilliant. Thank you, Simon. Let's pray, shall we? Father, thank you so much for your word, for the life that your word gives, for the challenge and joy that we find in it, for the wonder of who you are. Thank you for the gift of your spirit, who enlightens and highlights and reveals and shows us and calls us and equips us. And we pray that there would be a uniting of word and spirit this morning for your praise and glory. Amen. So some of you may have noticed that we seem to have skipped a whole load of the Sermon on the Mount, which we have been looking at over the past few weeks and months. We've been looking at the Beatitudes and then the Sermon and Salt and Light, and we somehow seem to have skipped out chapter 7, 8 and 9. We are going back to them next week, but the reason we skipped ahead is because we felt, as we were putting the sermon series together, which we did say wasn't going to be linear, we're going to be jumping all over Matthew this year, that today, being the celebration of Monique's priesting, would be a great opportunity to talk about every member ministry, which seems slightly contradictory, but hopefully all become clear, and to use this passage where Jesus sends out the 12 disciples as a springboard to talk about that theme on this very special and celebratory day for Monique. Matthew's gospel is constructed in such a way that there's a number of major teachings that often take place somewhere up high on a mountain, and each of those teachings is then followed by Matthew telling of where Jesus is then acting that sort of teaching out, or showing that ministry practically. So you'd have a block of teaching, and then you'd have Jesus doing stuff. You'd have a block of teaching, whether it's parables, and then Jesus going and doing stuff, and then you have a block of teaching and Jesus, and so on throughout Matthew's gospel. And so here we have this section where, after the big block of teaching in the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 5 to 7, Jesus is now not only has been doing ministry and taking part in ministry, the disciples have been watching Jesus do incredible things, things they've never seen before, things they've never experienced before, things they never imagined seeing in their time, healings, miracles, casting out demons, incredible things. And now Jesus is coming to this point of basically saying, he doesn't say it in these words, but essentially what he's saying is, you know how earlier we were talking about you being salt and light and what that means? Now go and do it. You're now going out to do this. You're now going out to be salt and light. We're not just talking about this in theory. We're talking about this in action. What he's basically saying is that this is what the kingdom of heaven is like. Let me tell you about it. Then let me show you about it. Now go and do it. Now go and be part of this. Go and be part of this kingdom. Let me show you again what it looks like for Jesus to be king, for Jesus to be Lord, and then what difference that makes to your life. And now go and live that life. You are invited into this. Let me show you what the kingdom of heaven looks like. Because the kingdom of heaven is not passive, it is active. The kingdom of heaven is always at work and always moving. It is God in action on this earth. And what we have to remember is up until this point, the people of Israel, God's chosen people, have been coping with their present pain, which is basically their pain has been they've been dispersed all over the place. They're no longer able to be together in Jerusalem. They have seen horrendous things happen to them through history and through their time, and they're still struggling with living under, in this case, a Roman occupation, not how they imagined to live their lives at all. And it feels like history is repeating itself. And the way they were coping with that was firstly by remembering the faithfulness of God in the past, looking back at his faithfulness, remembering the stories of where God has been faithful. That's why we have the Old Testament, because they were writing those stories down of the faithfulness of God. But they were also holding on to a future promise, something that was going to come to make things better. This promised Messiah, this chosen one of God who was going to come. And of course, we know that Jesus is that promise. He is the fulfillment of that promise. And so for the very first time in their history, they're hearing somebody talk about the kingdom of God, not as a future hope, but as a present reality. With them right now in that moment. That yes, there is still a future that Jesus is revealing and talking about, but what he's saying is the kingdom of heaven is at hand in him. In who he is, in what he's doing, in what he's showing them. And whilst they could, and we could, just sit back and watch God do his thing, the way of Jesus and the way of the kingdom is very different, because the way of the kingdom is all about restoration. It's all about restoring things to how they should be. And in the beginning of creation, when God created us, the whole purpose was partnership. Us partnering with God. And we chose not to do that in our rebellion. We chose to trade idols for glory. Or glory for idols. And we chose to walk away. And we chose to have our own kings and our own leaders rather than having God as king. And when Jesus takes his place on the throne in this moment, he invites us again to say, look, we're supposed to be doing this together. I have invited you to be part of what I am building on this earth. There is one mission in this world, and it is God's, and he invites us to be part of it. Amazing. And so Jesus is sending them out to be salt and light. Jesus has come to start a movement, not to open a museum. This is a movement of God that he is starting here. The kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of heaven itself is at hand. And I wonder if sometimes we lose sense of that sight of the church being a movement of God and have made it a monument to him. A church that can so easily become stuck in its ways, unwilling to move forward, expecting people to come to us to find him, rather than being the movement that he invited us to be part of. That he is building something on this earth that the gates of hell will not prevail against, and he is inviting us, you and me, to be part of it. And the whole purpose of that movement is designed to be nothing but a blessing to this broken world. He has not called the church to be a burden on society. He's called the church to be a blessing to those who are lost. A way for them to see that the kingdom of heaven is real and is here. And he is at work in this world. Much like the priests of the Old Testament, who alone were called to be this, Jesus is now calling everybody to represent God on earth, to represent this kingdom to the world. And when you hear what Jesus asks them to do, it does not sound easy. Jesus is asking this group of young, possibly teenage dropouts, society rejects, tax collectors who are hated by society, humble fishermen who have no background of any honor, are all being asked by Jesus to preach the good news, to heal the sick, to raise the dead, to cleanse those with leprosy, and to drive out demons. And unlike Monique and I, they're not going to get paid to do it. Now, we are in a privileged position as priests, and we know it's a privileged position in the Church of England to be paid to do what we do. It's not technically pay, come to that in a minute. But in the whole concept of paying priests only began in the medieval period. Up until that, everyone who worked for the Church of God would have made their own way, often as school leaders or teachers or that kind of thing, and then they would do ministry alongside. And even today, I joke about it, but we're not technically paid. We get given what's called a stipend, which is basically a wage to live on so that we can do the ministry that God has called us to do. But we know it is an absolute privilege. But the ministry of God, the work of God in this world, is not for the priests alone. Well, it is, but we're all priests. We are all called to this mission and this ministry. We're all called to be part of what God is building and doing in this world. It is an invitation for every single one of us, regardless of our age, ability, background, experience, whatever it may be, we're all called to be part of building God's kingdom on earth as it is in heaven. And the role of the priest, the paid priest in the Church of England, in my mind, should be to make themselves redundant by raising up the priests around us to work for the kingdom of heaven in their callings and their giftings and their blessedness, to raise people up, to create opportunities for all of us to be part of what God is building and doing. Now, the priests, by the nature of their role and by their position, and this has been true through centuries, even before priests were paid, the whole purpose of the priests and the opportunity they do have is to be able, in their position, to be able to see the bigger picture of what's going on in the place to which they're called. To be able to see that kind of wider picture and then release people into that. And we see Jesus doing that in this passage, actually. Jesus, we know, of course, is the great high priest, the perfect example of priesthood, the best example of representing God in the world that we've ever had and ever will have. And he is doing that priestly ministry of seeing the bigger picture. And we see that by how he sends them out and what he says to them to do. And more importantly, what he says to them not to do. I find it fascinating where Jesus tells them where not to go. Don't go anywhere near Samaria. Don't go anywhere near these places. Focus first on the children of Israel. Go to the lost sheep of Israel, he says. And there's a couple of reasons he could be doing that. And we don't really know the entire motive, but there's one of two possibilities, I think, as I read this. One is protection. That Jesus is protecting the disciples from what they could face if they go to the wrong places. Because we know there was a lot of hostility around at the time, and there was particularly a lot of hostility between some of these people groups that Jesus mentions. And in theory, you'd have thought that the house of Israel would have received fellow Jews fairly well, and would have been encouraging, and would have at least had some understanding of this concept of a Messiah coming and the kingdom of God coming. Now, we know that wasn't the case for all of them. Actually, quite the opposite was true. And the people you wouldn't expect to persecute Jesus did persecute Jesus, and it was all very confusing. And it may have been that Jesus was protecting them against other things. Because we know Jesus was going to be ministering to those people. We know that the kingdom of heaven was for all people. So it could be that he was protecting them. It could also be, and possibly more likely, is that Jesus was being incredibly strategic in his mission and vision for what he was doing on earth and how he was going about it. That he had a plan that the disciples couldn't see, that even at the time we can't see, but in hindsight we can see. It's only much later that Jesus calls his church to go beyond the walls of Jerusalem and further out into the world when we come to the Great Commission, which we'll be doing much later in our sermon series. Whatever the reason is, Jesus clearly has a bigger picture and is inviting them to be part of it. But what he's mainly asking them to do as they go is to ensure that they are nothing but a blessing to the people they're called to minister to. To not be a burden, to not be a pain, to not be difficult, to not be asking them for money every 5 minutes, but to be trusting in God to provide and to be faithful to what they've been called to do, and to acknowledge that some people will accept them and welcome them and bless them and give peace to them, and some people won't, and that's okay. The whole concept of shaking your dust off the feet is thought to be an idiom that was used at the time, kind of an analogy that was used at the time. And it basically meant don't be a pest. Don't be a pain. Don't be so persistent that people get fed up with you and just say, when are these people going to leave? Don't outstay your welcome. Don't stay longer than you're invited to, but be there whilst you're a blessing. And as soon as you cease to be a blessing, move on and allow somebody else to come in and be a blessing. Because the kingdom of God is designed to bless this earth, to be a blessing to the people who are lost in their sins, so that they can see, oh, this is a good thing. What these people have is a good thing, and I want it. And so we're called as priests, every single one of us, and the calling of a priest essentially is to be blessed so that we can be a blessing. It was the first thing we see God say, or one of the things we see God say to Abraham, is I will bless you in order that you can be a blessing to others, that you can share that blessing that you yourself have received. It comes back to that really difficult question that we don't like to ask. If the church was not in your community, would your community notice? If the church was not in your community, would the community notice? And we're not talking here about the building. Obviously, everyone would notice if a building just suddenly disappeared. But would they notice if the people weren't there? Are we making such a difference and being such a blessing to society that if we weren't there, we would be missed? Because of the blessing that we are. Have we remembered that we are not a monument for people to come and see, but we are a movement called to change this world for the sake of the kingdom, for the sake of God? We are called to be different and to make a difference. And we're called to do that now, today. I was really struck by something Bishop Ruth said at the ordination service, or the priesting service yesterday. Right in her final paragraph, she was talking about this fact that, as wonderful as it is to priest Monique and the others who were being priested with her, she was saying that we are all called to be part of this as well. And she was speaking about that future time when the kingdom of heaven is fully realized, because we live in this in-between time of the now and the not yet. The kingdom of heaven is at hand in Jesus, yet there is a time coming when Jesus will come and make that kingdom fully realized at his return. And when he does so, we speak very hopefully and joyfully about the fact there'll be no more tears, no more pain, no more suffering. We'll be rejoicing with God and all those kind of things. And that is wonderful. But then she said this, there will also be no more evangelism, no more opportunities to tell people about Jesus, no more opportunities to bless the sick, no more opportunities to journey with those who are suffering, no more opportunities for schools work, no more opportunities to tell the fact that the kingdom of heaven is at hand, no more opportunities to tell people that Jesus is risen, no more opportunities to be the church. We take those opportunities now because we have them now. And we are all invited to be part of that. And if it feels daunting and scary, good. Because the whole concept of Jesus saying, don't take this with you and don't take that with you, is that we are fully relying on God in this mission and not on ourselves. But we recognize that everything we do is to be a blessing to others so that they can see that Jesus makes a difference. I think I've said this before, that in the early or late 80s, they asked a group of students what their biggest question about Christianity was. And at the time, the most asked question in our universities was, is it true? They did that survey again in the mid-2010s, I think it was. And the question had changed from, is it true, to does it work? Does it actually make a difference to my life and to this world? Well, it should be. One of the things that can hold people back from saying yes to Jesus is the fear that it's going to make them a boring Christian who's going to wear sandals and use rainbow straps on their guitars and do random things like that. But that's not the call. The call is to a relationship with the God who made the universe and to be invited into his mission in this world, to be part of what he is building on this earth. That's exciting. That is life-changing stuff. And we have the opportunity to be a blessing as we ourselves have been blessed. And the good thing is, you don't have to do it alone. We've been singing a song on Tuesday mornings called that, You Don't Have to Do It All Alone. And there's two streams to that. One is, at no point in the Gospels do you ever see Jesus send anyone on their own to do mission. You always see him send them out with others. And then the second thing is that he goes on to say later in this commissioning prayer, as he's commissioning these disciples to go out for the first time, he says this, when you go, it will not be you speaking, but the Spirit of your Father speaking through you. What a privilege that is. That the Spirit of God who raised Jesus from the dead can minister through us, so that we can be a blessing to this world, so that people can see that Jesus is real, that he really is alive, that he really is making a difference, and that his kingdom of heaven is close at hand. Every single one of us is invited into that. Every single one of us is invited to be a priest in the kingdom of God. Are we responding to that call? Are we giving our yes to him? Are we jumping in and joining in? Whatever that looks like, wherever it takes us, whatever he calls us to be a blessing to this world. Because the reality is, whether we give him our yes or not, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And now is the time to show that that's a reality. And if you want to be part of it, you can be. Just by giving him your yes and amen and saying, I'm joining in with that mission. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. Let's just be still for a minute and just allow the Spirit to do what he needs to do, to highlight what he wants to highlight, to allow to fall away what needs to fall away,
hear that call of God to be part of what he's doing in this world. Even to practically ask him, Jesus, how can I be a blessing this week? To my family, to my community, in my workplace, in my school or college or university, how can I be a blessing? How can I show this week that the kingdom of heaven is real and at hand? Are there individuals that you know God is calling you to be a blessing to? To share the kingdom with? Are there places where you've been doing that alone and you need to invite others in or God in to help you? Are there people or situations you feel called to pray for and intercede for? Is there someone suffering or struggling that you could visit this week and show kindness to? Is there a relationship you can reconcile and make right with forgiveness? I just want to pray, Holy Spirit, that you would come and remind us of the blessing that we have received from you through the act of communion, through sharing together, that you would remind us that we have been blessed in order that we may be a blessing, that we may represent your kingdom on earth. And Jesus, we know we're not perfect. We know we mess it up. We know we miss opportunities, or we feel like there's times where we're not being a great example. God, would you change us? Would you help us? Would you do your work within us? And you know, the whole point is not to say or proclaim that we're better than anyone else, but that we're better than who we were yesterday because of Jesus. And so we thank you for the work you're doing in our lives. And we pray, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Amen.